kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Nais naming magbigay galang sa mga tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng lupain na aming kinatatayuan ngayon. Ang SBS Filipino ay nagbibigay galang sa mga Aboriginal at Torres Strait Islander at nakakatandang miyembro ng komunidad mula noon at ngayon. Kinikilala rin namin ang mga tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng lupain ng Aboriginal at Torres Strait Islander mula sa mga lugar na kinatatayuan ng aming mga taga-subaybay.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Mabuhay.
I have been bestowed with the title of tita.
I identify more like an ate at the moment, but maybe future tita.
I don't necessarily relate to what?
Identify.
I don't identify being a tita.
I think I'm a tita. Everyone calls me a tita, so therefore I am one.
Hello.
They call me Tito.
I am Tito from Manila.
Hi, this is Myrdal Martinez, your ate ng bayan, reluctant tita, mom of two, and today I am with John Mark.
Hello, I'm John Mark Desengano. I am a second generation Filipino-Australian immigrant who was on the journey to find and rediscover what it means to be a Filipino-Australian, especially when I can't speak Tagalog. And you're listening to the Titas and Titos Guide to
Modern Parenting.
Julian Pudsey is a first-gen Filipino-Australian and mother of three. She has a degree in early childhood education with experience in teaching across the Philippines, Singapore, and Australia. She's a passionate parent who continues to expand her knowledge through literature and short courses. Hello, Julian.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to talk about how to become a parent in another land.
Not in the motherland.
Not in the motherland. Another land. In another land. And the modern ways of parenting.
Tama ba?
John Mark?
What does that mean? Tama ba?
Is that right?
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it, which is such an interesting topic, I was going to say for me. I'm not a parent. I'm definitely not a mother. But to grow up with both Filipino parents. I moved here when I was 7 months old. So my parents moved to Australia here, and watching them navigate how to be a parent in the 90s, but also in Australia as Filipinos was really interesting. And then watching my friends and how their parents were. And so modern parenting is a really interesting conversation to me.
So I can proudly say that I have nearly 20 years of experience in parenting. Mm. But Julian here has more experience than us because she studied. You are an early childhood educator.
Yes. So I do have a degree in early childhood education, but I continue to study because there is so much more material out there now. Mm. Like I believe like my mom's generation, they had Spock. Dr. Spock. That was
like Star Trek?
You know, that's what I thought as well. No. So he's apparently like the guru of parenting back in the day. And so there was particular research, but now there's more research, like more science-backed research about how you raise your children and, mm-hmm. you know, how to build stronger connections and mm-hmm. hold space for feelings and all this kind of.
Can I ask?
Of course you can.
Yes. Your continual journey for learning.
Yes.
You've got the degree in early childhood learning.
Yes.
And then you want to keep studying. And this is out of interest because you are really intrigued about parenting, or it's like quite personal because you are a parent?
I think because I wasn't always like at the very beginning, I think I pretty much parented the way I was, you know, parented like the way we were all parented, quite strict, quite stern. My views were like, if your kid's throwing a tantrum, they're a brat, like
usual
kind of thing. But then my second son, he wasn't speaking. He was nonverbal until he started speaking quite late. And the tactic wasn't working. So we ended up yelling at each other all the time. And that led me to, this is not working. So we need to find the connection. I need to connect with him better. How do I do that? And that's when I started reading more and doing my research and kind of parenting from there.
Right.
When did you realize you wanted to become a parent? You wanted to submit yourselves to 9 months of excruciating growing pains. And then, is it going to be a normal birth or a cesarean birth? So when did you realize?
So it was never an option. I think in my head, I just always wanted children. So at the children's party, I am the child playing with other people's children. That was just always me. If I had a boyfriend straight out of high school, I would have not gone to college, gotten pregnant, and had children. That didn't happen. But it was never, it was just a thing. I was always going to have children no matter what. I knew, magiging nanay ako, I'm going to be a mom. Kahit ano mangyari, magkakaanak ako.
But I was always the ate. Like, I took care of my siblings, my cousins, and I like playing with kids and, you know, my infants.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became an adult and when I got married, we both agreed, nah, it's not for us at the moment. Let's do the things that we want to do. It's like we wanted to go to school. We wanted to be together more. So the decision to become a parent came later in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always asked, kailan ka mag-aanap? Like a day, as soon as we got, you may now kiss the bride. So kailan ang anak ninyo?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, in the Philippines, if you have a church wedding, you mm-hmm. go to this counseling with the priest.
Pre-Cana.
Yeah.
Yes, it's called the Pre-Cana.
Pre-Cana?
Pre-Cana. So it's like a premarital counseling where the church, the priest, you know, the person doing the Pre-Cana seminar will determine, will ascertain if bagay ba kayo? Compatible? Are you compatible? Like, are you good? If you get married, will you stay married? Like,
so
it's yes.
Like so Nostradamus.
It's a little test into...
Yeah, and
will your marriage survive? So they have questions like, will it bother you if your spouse makes more money than you? Or that
when
so
you
really
children?
Hard. Yes.
Okay.
How many children? He's like, yeah.
So it's all the big questions, and
yes.
then someone decides whether or not you and your partner.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could still carry on with it anyway.
Yeah, and I was asked that, and I said, well, not in the immediate future.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest looked at me and said, you do realize that when you get married, you should have children. The purpose of marriage is procreation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really?
Yeah, wow. Well.
In the Bible, yes.
But, and then I said, but would you rather that I become a responsible parent?
Yes.
And become a parent straight away
mm-hmm.
and become an irresponsible parent?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so he just left it at that because he can't.
Right.
But in our culture, that's mm-hmm. the first question.
Yes. So as soon as my now husband and I started dating, it's, kailan kayo kakasal? When are you getting married? Right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, don't ask me. I'm not the dude. Like, he hasn't proposed.
And or then, John Mark, kailan ka magpropose?
When are you going to propose? When are you going to propose? Kailan kayo kakasal? Diba? Like, it's
right. Yep.
It's always the, and then when we got married, it's, kailan kayo magkakaanak? When are you going to have the children? Which you were asked as well. And then it took us maybe 18 months, 2 years, and I had my eldest son, Hendrix. And after he was born, like, you know, it's like 6 months old. Kailan niyo susundan? When are you going to have another? Like, I haven't even recovered. But, right? Like,
my cesarean stitch was still fresh.
It's, yes. So kailan niyo susundan? Yeah. When are you, you know, bigyan niyo ng kapatid, give him a sibling, right? And then, so gave him a sibling. Yes, yes, tita. Opo, yes. Gave him a sibling.
Not 6 months later.
No.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
So they were, I think, 18 months apart.
Okay.
Maybe 2 years apart. And then, so I had two sons then. And then now I finally have three sons, right? So I ended up with three sons. And now the thing is, can you guess? Can you guess what the next question is?
When are you going to have a daughter?
Yes! Yeah. Sundan niyo naman ang babae. Para kumpleto na. Like, so that the family is complete.
So that the family is complete.
Right?
But.
Yes.
Like, in our society, the most important child to have is a boy.
Hmm.
Because it will carry on your name.
Oh, yeah.
Which ironically is not even the mother's name.
you just make the bones and the brain.
Yeah. There's some pressure in that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the only boy in my family mm-hmm. with a Desenganyo name
mm-hmm.
in Australia.
Beautiful name, by the way. Absolutely love that.
So you have the responsibility to procreate.
Because my dad is the youngest of 12, right? And so I'm the youngest son.
Mm.
From the youngest Desenganyo, yes. Right? From the youngest son. So there was this thing of like, well, you must carry the name. You must keep.
Make sure.
And then they were like, maybe you should find like a European woman. Like, you know, so that we can be multicultural. So that the name can spread. And I was like, wow, this is a lot.
This is a lot.
And that's conversations that you have. At, like, I remember having that conversation at 10 years old. 9, 10 years old.
Mm.
Yeah.
But once upon a time, I actually said that. Nakakatawa, because that name is not even my name. So, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because it's not.
And it's just the name. Yeah. But then in our culture, the lineage is important.
Yeah.
We're five in the family. Mm-hmm. My parents kept on trying because they wanted a boy. Because it was three girls and then one boy. And it goes, isa pa.
But it one more, yeah. Well, that's the thing. When people come up and tell me, have another, you know, sige, try for a girl, try for a girl. I'm like, but if I end up with twins and they're boys, now I've got five boys, are you...
Keep going.
Yeah, are you going to pay for the food, though? Like the budget for to feed five boys? But the thing is, right, in our culture, I do genuinely believe where they come from, right? The value in that is that children are biaya. Biaya yan anak, right? It's a blessing. Biaya, it's a blessing. Children are a blessing, and so they view, that's why they have so many. Your dad had 11 siblings.
Because
they were so blessed. Because they were, right? And I get that as from a tito tita standpoint, they want you to be blessed, like, you know? So I think, I feel
but
like
who's
that.
Who's blessing who? Like, this is my question. I mean, sure. I love. I'm also a teacher. I have a degree in private school teaching. Mm-hmm. I work in the youth art sector. Young people are my world. Mm-hmm. I adore them. I have so much respect for them.
Oh, I love
and that. I'm very committed as a role model, as a young male in the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of my life is dedicated to young people. So I adore children. I adore them. I don't want them.
You don't want them? As your own?
I don't want them as my own, right?
Have you told your parents that?
Here comes the tita gasp.
Yeah.
Gasp.
Yeah. I hope my parents, maybe they're listening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've had that conversation of like, for so many reasons. Like I can see why children are blessings, are blessings. And I say that with quotations because, you know, I think they're amazing. You know, I don't particularly subscribe to the idea that they're miraculous, but I think they are incredible. But they're a lot of responsibility. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, we live in some pretty scary times at the moment. But also, I'm not in a place financially. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a place in terms of, like, my career to be able to commit to such a massive responsibility.
Because once you're a parent for forever.
For the rest of my life.
It doesn't matter if they're 18, they're 30, they're 88.
Until the day you die.
You're that's a parent. Right.
And, you know, and there is that conversation around, like, I remember having this conversation with someone that, well, at some point, then your children start parenting you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I also don't want that responsibility for them. Mm-hmm. I'm a brat. I'm a nightmare to look after.
At one point in my life, I was an ambivalent parent.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't sure if I wanted one, a child of my own or not. Because there's always that expectation that you would become a parent, especially for women. Diba? So you have to bear children so they can take care of you. You have to bear children so you continue the lineage. But there was a point in my life that I wanted to do so many things that it would have been selfish for me to have a child. And as I continued to pursue the things that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So it was a conscious effort between my husband and I. We agreed na. Let's just tick all the boxes first. Mm. And then when we get there, tingnan natin.
We'll see, yeah.
So we'll see. So we did. But in those, so we had our first child later on in the marriage, like 6 or 7 years after. And the question was like, sino may diperensya sa inyo?
Oh, no. What's who's that? Got the problem?
Yeah, who's having a hard time?
Like, so which one is it?
And I was like, no one. And everyone was shocked. Because not that it's their business, but as it was a tita asking. Mm-hmm. And then sabi ng asawa ko, wala tita. Ayaw pa lang namin mag-anak. No, no one. Because we just don't want to have kids yet.
Yeah.
At nagulat.
Yeah, I think it's like a bogus concept. Like, what do you mean you don't want to have children?
Because that was like 6 years into the marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good because when I became a mom, although I wouldn't say that the first few months, but when I became a mom, after I got through all those pain and trauma and everything, I was there 101%. Like, the child was always first. Mm-hmm. And up until now. Mm-hmm. Because I was able to do all the things I wanted. And I was confident within myself na nagawa ko na yung lahat. And, you know, I'm ready to give this up for my child.
I think, like, while we continue the conversation, I'll acknowledge that these conversations, they are also quite unique to the three of us, but also to a lot of other people listening, that each time I'm realizing it's always a tricky conversation to have with your parents or with your titas and titos. Mm.
Right? Filipinos are non-Filipinos.
Yeah. That it is. Whether or not you're a second generation like myself who just don't want children, or you're someone who's having children, there's always another sticky point in the conversation that's coming from our culture, or that's coming from our parents or titas and titos.
Well, I think so for me, I'm not Australian. Like, I've lived here. I moved here in 2015, I think. But all my sons were born here.
Right.
And I have no village here. And so how I've chosen to parent, pretty much, like, so when I go back home to the Philippines, you can really see how different things are. Little things, right? Like, so for example, my mom would ask me why. So my mom calls it a chupeta, a soother, a dummy.
Yeah,
my mom calls it
the
chupeta.
Pacifier.
Yeah, pacifier. Yeah. Thank you. So she'd go, bakit may chupeta yung bata? You know, why? And not, she wasn't judging. She was just curious. Like, she didn't understand, right? Because we don't really have that in the Philippines. And I was telling her, Mom, the reason we don't need that in the Philippines is because you have a yaya, you know, doing this. So whenever the baby cries, there's a yaya going, okay, you know, tahana. You have a nanny. I don't have a nanny. I'm on my own. So when the baby is crying, they got to learn to soothe themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, hindi ko pwedeng tigil yung ginagawa ko. I can't stop what I'm doing and just like, okay, come let me pick you up.
Yeah.
I have to do other things.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, I don't necessarily think it's easier that they have nanny, you know, but I didn't have a village here.
Yeah.
So how I need to then raise my children to grow up into children that are equipped with what they need living in Australia versus if they were living in the Philippines is quite different.
Yeah.
I have a village. When I was pregnant, okay, so my in-laws are here, my mother-in-law's here, and she was volunteering. When you pag uwi mo from the hospital, doon na sa bahay niyo, I'll help you.
But she'll stay at yours. Yeah.
I said no. Initially, I think she was offended, but then inexplain ko sa asawa ko to explain to the mom, and I explained it to her na that's not my reality. You'll be there for a week, but then I won't learn.
You're going to be on your own.
I'm going to be on my own. So when I go home, gusto ko, ako lang, kasi matututo ako how pag umiyak, anong gagawin ko. Mm-hmm. So I will, you know, I didn't want to be deep. Kasi ganun sa Philippines, di ba? Mm-hmm. Pag uwi mo, may yaya, nandyan si Lola, ang dami. So wala ka talagang gagawin, di ba? So gusto ko matuto. I wanted to learn what it was like so that when I'm faced with it, ready na ako. And then I said, you know, pag mag-date kami, punta ka. So, tsaka sabi ko, lima na yung inalagaan mo, diba? So, by now, enjoy mo na lang yung apo mo. Like, you don't need to change nappies, you don't need to cook food and stuff, and, just, you know, just be there to enjoy them. And proud ako na when I did that, natuto ako kasi otherwise, baka mag-breakdown ako kung mag-isa lang ako eh. And my husband was there. So he was my village. So we were there together. But then he would say, wala akong boobs. Kilala niyo. Useless nipples. But apart from that, it was a tandem. So yun yung village mo, yung partner mo.
Yes.
Diba? So, and I think that's the thing here, na pag malayo ka sa pamilya mo, matututo ka na tumayo sa sarili mong paa. And then, when you do things, wala na yung influence. Dito, influence. It's just ikaw.
Yes. So,
hindi iikot yung ultak mo sa rinde. So, you're not gonna scream out of, you know, confusion that people telling you so many things all at once. It's just you.
One of the things I find that I am grateful for is that I can. So, my husband defers to me for a lot of parenting things. Very hands-on, my husband. So, in the newborn stages, because he had useless nipples, he would just
change nappies.
So what you do is you wake the baby by changing a nappy. So a newborn baby has to be woken. So the feeding is every 3 hours in 3 hour cycles. This will just like super like stamp that you don't want children. Yeah. So you feed. So the way you wake them by changing the nappy, because it's cold and then they're like, oh, you've woken me. So my husband would wake our sons with a nappy change, gently wake me and say, I'm starting the nappy change, wake up slowly, change the baby's nappy, give me the baby, go out and get me water and a snack. And then say, if you need anything, just tap me. And then I'd you know, feed the baby. When the baby goes back to sleep, I'll tap him. He puts the baby back in. But it was like that. You're right. He was in itself my village.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the, I think the community.
Of course.
I didn't have the community. I didn't have the, you know, like different time zones, like just nobody to call and stuff. But the benefit I do find, and you said influence of other people, I can raise my children the way that I feel is right. Mm-hmm. And the without people saying, so, okay, classic example, in the Philippines, newborn babies are placed on their stomachs. I don't know now, but when we were young, placed on their stomachs to sleep. Because you know, gulat, the gulat thing, the, what do you call it? The reflex. So they don't get gulat in their sleep because they're lying on their stomachs. In Australia, that's a SIDS hazard.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I'm going to get canceled for this. But my son, I would sleep him on his stomach. Mm-hmm. So I'd go to mom's groups and then they'd be like, let's do tummy time together. And then I'd put my kid on his tummy and he'd pass out. And I'm like, dude, wake up. You're selling me out here.
Oh, no.
And all the moms were like, oh, he's sleeping. I'm like, oh, long night, must be tired. Okay, bye, guys. Because it's just not how you do it, right? But like, there's certain practices that I've taken from how we were parented and, you know, in that way. But also, because my kids are growing up in Australia, I need them to learn independence.
Yep.
I need them to learn to advocate for themselves, to have their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm having to mix the how we were raised.
That's very interesting.
With how I need to raise them to exist in the country that I've chosen to have them in.
That's very interesting, right? Because the conversations around parenting styles are changing. I'm speaking as someone who's not a parent, but is just observing the world. Changing what feels like quite rapidly, quite drastically.
Mm-hmm.
The term gentle parenting gets thrown around a lot. We'll talk about modern parenting. Yeah.
Were you gentle parented? I don't think
no.
so.
No.
Because you have... Your parents are both Pinoy.
My parents are both Pinoys. And like, you know, there's definitely things that they did that I think, I'll also say, I think my parents were great parents. And I think there's things that we can look back on and go, oh, maybe they shouldn't have. And I think every parent will feel like that.
Did you grow up fearing the mumu?
The mumu? As in like being spanked?
No, the ghost.
The ghost? No.
Uy, wa ka dyan, may mumu dyan.
Yeah.
What's the mumu?
If there's an area they don't want you to go into, they'd be like, may mumu dyan. Like there's a ghost, so don't go there.
So gaslighting
or,
children.
Or the favorite, andyan yung mamang police, like the police officer.
Ah, yeah, police. But I will, yeah.
Andyan yung police, kunin ka ng police.
But, you know, the police are coming.
Yeah.
That whole thing. But then we flipped it around, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will say that we lived in a different time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were spanked if we were doing something seen as naughty or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then.
Pinched? Were you pinched? Or your ears pulled?
Yeah, it's not as much as just getting the newspaper or the belt or something, right? Then the laws started to change in the 90s, right? And then there were campaigns on TV of like, getting your child is illegal, that, you know, stop spanking your children.
We did not have that. Did we have this in the Philippines? I don't think we did, okay?
No. So we
put on you, Australia.
It was quite, and there was a big campaign for it,
mm-hmm.
all right, in the 90s. It was all over TV. And so kids, myself included, were going, no, parents, you can't touch us. Right.
Mm.
Now we'll call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Ah.
And that was a really interesting time.
Mm-hmm.
And credit to my parents, they adjusted. They,
okay.
You know, that's when they stopped getting the chinelas. They would listen. They wouldn't hit us after that. And I will say that when they did, it wasn't like, it was for discipline. It wasn't, you know.
It's interesting though, you say, like, I understand when you say discipline and it's not like a slight on your parents at all or any other parents that, you know, may have hit their kids in the past. But because discipline, as a teacher, you know, it just means to teach.
Yes.
You think you're disciplining your children, but what it actually teaches is it's okay to hit, actually. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you're not supposed
you're
to hit.
You're modeling the behavior.
But if you do something that I don't like, I can actually hit you.
Yeah.
Or,
and that's where.
I remember, you know, if they hurt themselves at the edge of a table, you hit the table.
Oh, gosh, I remember that.
Say that again?
Yeah.
So if you hit yourself the edge of the table or if you trip because there was a chair on the
right.
way.
Yes,
they will hit the chair.
Yes.
But they will hit the table.
Yeah.
Yep. We actually had to call that thing out because we'd say, they might think it's okay to hit their classmates
if
or
someone
their friends
hurts them.
If someone hurts them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can
but,
hit it back.
Like growing up, I still do that. I still did that in the Philippines. If I bumped my head in a wardrobe, it's like, ano ba?
Yeah.
It's the wardrobe.
It is a reflex, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. Yeah, wow. And if a friend hits me, even if it's jokingly or whatever, they're not, you know, the hand comes up.
But I, even that, I find culturally, we, no, so we as parents, we love our children. So we don't want them to be sad. We don't want them to hurt. We don't want them to cry. And so the tendency is fix it.
Yeah.
So my Lola, God bless her, she was 99 when she passed away. She met all three of her great-grandchildren with me. So my three sons, she met them all. But I remember she was the most posturiosa. Like, she was always, like, fixed dressed and dressed up. And, you know, she was an English teacher, like, very poised, right? And we were in a really nice restaurant. And my son was crying. And she was so intent on making him stop crying that she picked up an asparagus and started whirling it around like a helicopter, making helicopter noise. Just because she was like, make him stop, make him stop. Like, what does he want? The knife? The fork? Like, just right. Handing a baby
things.
Yeah. All these dangerous things just to make him stop because she's so upset, right?
Yeah.
And I think now this, when we say, I don't know if it is gentle in the parenting, like the style that I do, it's just more a... all feelings are welcome. All feelings are valid. And for me, it's learning to be uncomfortable with being uncomfortable and letting my kid just cry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's upset, let him cry. Like, resisting the urge to say, you're okay, it's fine. Okay, you know, tahana, huwag ka na umiyak. Because that's the, tahana, second, enough, enough. Okay, shh. Okay, anong gusto, right? That's the, especially if you're like a lola or an older tita, anong gusto? Like, what does he want? Just give it. So for me, as a parent with my children, and my children are very big feelers, right? So 4, 6, and 9, very big feelers, my kids. So whenever something happens, it's, I've had a really bad day, nobody wanted to play with me. It's being able to say, instead of saying, oh, those kids are nasty, and you know, mawalang yat mga batang to, sana batukan natin. You know, it's like wanting to wage war against these kids, but you're just like, I'm really sorry, but that really sucks. Mm. You've had a really, really sucky day.
Mm.
But you know what? You're really strong. You're going to have sucky days. But you'll get through them. Mm. And whatever you have to get through, we'll get through together.
Mm.
But right now, like, what do you need? Do you need a hug? Do you need space? Do you need some music? And my second one's very good with, like, he has a playlist.
Mm.
And he has songs like Grumpy Bunny on there where, you know, it's like, and he listens to it and then he kind of, you know, but he feels it.
Yeah.
So he's learning to be comfortable with yucky feelings so that he grows up into an adult that doesn't turn to other things. Yeah, he just knows how to...
My oldest would throw a tantrum in public.
Mm-hmm.
I let him.
Yeah. Mm.
I leave him alone.
Yeah.
In the middle of the shops.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hide somewhere where I can see him.
Mm-hmm.
So he learned that if he throws a tantrum, he can't get what he wants.
Yeah. Mm.
I'll just disappear. Mm-hmm. But I don't disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just watch him. Then my second would throw a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
Leave him alone. 2 hours.
Second one's...
But I just let him cry because... Ganun siya, ganun yung, not all kids are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So he's 15 now. If he sees a child crying, was I that bad? I think I was worse. Because he knew he was a crybaby. Like, yakin yan yung bata. That wasn't us. That was everyone else. Yakin to ba yan? And it was like, but he's not. He's just the more sensitive between the two.
Mm-hmm.
He's more... invested with the things he does. And I think it's like acknowledging that every child is different.
Yes.
Kasi sa atin, di ba, like, we were all parented the same.
Mm.
Di pwede.
Mm-hmm.
Wala.
Mm-hmm.
Dito lang kayo sa bahay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, nung naging magulang ako, when I became a parent, I learned that it was so difficult for me during my childhood because I was always told what to do, but not told why. I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Or nung naging nanay ako, when I became a mom, I promised myself I would always tell my kids the why. And so I learned that I would have to learn to say things no in another way.
Mm-hmm.
So dun ko rin natutunan na we can't do that now because we have to do this. Yung explaining things and then giving them the decision, the chance to decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So parang it's not always eto gagawin mo, eto dito ka lang. It's not you stay here, this is what you should do. It was always what would you like to do? What are we going to do today?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to go? It's always a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Julianne, you were saying that, you know, you didn't have the village here. Our parents are quite, they're the models. They're the, we learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
We learn our tendencies from them as well. And it makes so much sense that generationally parenting styles feed from how you were parented beforehand, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And now we're in this generation of, there is quite a lot of change. How have you had to have conversations with titas and titos, with parents, of when they're like, that's not what I would do. I didn't parent you like that. Or mm-hmm. I didn't, you know. I would.
During our time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are those conversations like with titas and titos?
So I am very fortunate because my mom comes here as often as she can. She usually stays for 3 months at a time. And my mom does defer to my parenting. So she would never cross the line. If I say this is what it is, she's always the type to say, ask your mama, what did your mama say? So I've never really had any, like, nothing to do with that kind of thing, right? But like in our, like culturally as well. So my kids are half East, right? Mm-hmm. So they're, well, Eurasian, I guess you'd say. Their dad's British Irish and they're Filipino descent, right? So I always get the guapo, like, you know, good looking kids, you know, like, oh, guapo, which is also why they wanted me to have daughters. Yes. Yeah. Daughter, sayang. Ganda. Ganda niyo magkaanak. Like, you make good looking kids.
Great. Because you make good looking kids, you absolute must keep reason. Making
And then work. Send them to the Philippines to make them, to make you money because they can be artista.
Artista.
It goes on and on, John Mark. Like, we could go on and on. We could talk about this for days. It's amazing.
Model mo na lang
but look, let's, I just want to preface also by saying they mean well, right? They genuinely, always. Like, they always mean well. Titos and titas always mean well.
But stop it. No.
But in the Philippines, a lot of the times, a lot of comments are made towards maybe how they look, like they're good looking and they're tall children. And let me like try to explain this in a way that's a bit clear. So my 9-year-old son wears size 12 to 14 clothing. My 6-year-old son wears about size 10 to 12 clothing, right? So they're big kids, like they're tall kids. And I feel so blessed and privileged because my kids eat well. They have a hefty appetite. Adobo, tinola, you know, kanin, all the time.
No British Irish food, just Filipino food.
Potatoes from the Irish. Sausage. Sausage, bangers and mash.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like their dad is tall. Like, you know, they're tall kids. But they're sometimes...
Ang anak
mo. Ang tanggad. But also, sometimes there might be comments about, pang ilang plato na niya yan? How many plates has he had? There might be comments like that. You know, because like, whoa, like slow down. Like, are you still hungry? Are you sure you want that? And I realize to not... Because you don't want to go, you don't necessarily want to go against your tita. I might be the strong Filipina mom raising her kids in Australia, raising them here with, you know, certain values. But when I'm back home, I'm still she's still my tita and I'm still the niece, mm-hmm. you know. So there's still a hierarchy here. We don't overstep.
Yep.
But I will always defend my kids. So I've found a way of, instead of directly addressing the tita who said, you know, sure, he needs a third plate of lechon and adobo. I'll turn to my son and I'll go, you're growing so much that your body's probably telling you needs more rice for energy because you're going to be running around so much later. Is that what your body needs? And he's like, yeah, good listening to your body, buddy.
Nice.
And if you do that enough, they will kind of catch on that that's not something... You know, or if people keep making comments about guwapo, naku, pag artistahin mo na, you know, they're so good looking, go send them to the TV stations to be on in movies
make,
and stuff.
Make money.
Make money. I will often follow it up with, you know what they are? They're also kind.
Yeah.
They're also really thoughtful.
He's
great brother and he's a great son. And I will often say that even when they're within earshot.
Yep.
Like I might turn to my sister and go, I'm so proud of Hendrix today. Do you know what he did?
Yeah.
You know, and then they can hear it. And then they realize I'm not valued for what I look like.
Yeah, good one.
I'm valued for who I am, what I know about myself to be true. And this is what you know about you to be true. Like, yes, you might be good looking. And I always ask them. Because sometimes I catch myself going, oh, you're so cute. Yeah. And then I get all giggle and I get, you know, the tita sniff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're so cute. I love you. And then I'll catch myself and I go, but what's more important than being cute? and then they'll go, being kind. And I'm like, yes, being kind and thoughtful, and you're all those things all wrapped into one, and you smell like a cookie, and I love you. So I'm trying to find kind of that middle ground, because they always mean well, right? Yep. They just, I feel like there might be stigma, like how you look in the Philippines. So if you're a bit bigger, they don't want them to be big because they might, it's their own stigma coming into play. It's not about my child.
Yep.
It's maybe their own issues that they don't really realize that they have.
Yeah.
So I just try and address that instead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fortunate that I grew up in an environment where people knew their boundaries.
Oh, that's so really good.
But people,
what was that like?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
How did I get there?
My mother-in-law would actually ring. Are you home? Can I come over?
Oh, yeah.
She has keys to my house.
How long ago was this?
Now. So she has keys to my house because
right.
she's my she lives 2 kilometers away.
Okay.
And when I gave her a set of keys para con my emergency, because she used to help out when my kids were in primary school. And so she has keys to my house, but then she'll ring. And my sisters are like that too, like, and my aunties. So, but, and my children grew up here. So, hindi nila, alam nila na, you know, you're more valued for what you can contribute, just not what hang look like. But they would get that. Ang gwapo mo naman, ang tangkad mo. And they learned to, just to say, thank you. That's it. And then, and then they wouldn't know what to say after that. But then they just say, they'll just take the compliment because they ask me, what do we say? Say, just say thank you. And then that's it. And then, ayaw mo ba mag-artista? Do you want to become an artista? And then they would just say, ah, I want to do this and that. So
they kind of learn to navigate that within themselves.
You taught them how to react and the right values when they were young, when they become teenagers. But having said that, I never really babied my kids. I just, I'm a very direct person. So if I'm, kung gaano ako kadirect sa mga kausap ko, I was just like that with my kids.
What I'm learning is that our culture is full of contradictions, cultural contradictions. I think of the eating when, and our culture loves to eat. Eating is such an important part of what
story.
We do, right?
Unity.
And as I explained, I'm the, oh, maybe I didn't explain this. I'm the middle child. I'm the only boy. I have 2 sisters. And so at family gatherings, at dinner, at birthday parties, whatever, there was this expectation that, hey, John Mark, finish the food. Finish. Can you just eat? There's no room in the fridge. Eat everything. And so I would eat everything. And then comes the conversations of, hey, John Mark, you're eating too much, blah, blah, blah. And there's those contradictions there. I'm really interested in, like, I'm hearing this one for the first time of this artista, right? Like, you know, if you're guapo, go and sell your kids to the TV stations.
Artistahin, the word is, uy, artistahin. Like, they look like.
Artistahin.
Yeah, it's like you look like you could be on TV. Like, yeah, ooh, artistahin. So,
whereas, I am an actor, right? I have a degree. You know, everyone has their own ideas of what success is. But I consider myself quite successful. I'm on TV regularly enough. I also am on stages across Melbourne and nationally, sometimes internationally as well. Most of my income comes from acting. But there is also a stigma around, like, for a long time, my parents would introduce me as a teacher. Or growing up, if I said I wanted to be an actor, they would try to get me away from it.
You have to be a doctor, a lawyer,
to be a doctor,
nurse.
Even a nurse, like everything, right? So all, everything else that was seen to make money was more important than being, or seen to be intelligent was more important than being an actor. But also, if you're pretty enough, if you're having mestizo kids, then
one them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, go. They'll make you money. So where it, like, the contradictions are hard. I will say that to titas and titos, and I'll say this to all of the young Filipino Australians. There will be so many contradictions, and it is confusing, and it is hard.
Could it also be that your parents must have sacrificed a lot to come here?
Of course.
And in their mind, the life of an actor is so uncertain. We came here to give you a certain life, you know, to give you a, you know,
security.
More sure-footed foundation. Sure. And you just want to, quote unquote, throw it away on acting? You know, do we know you're good? Like, how do we know you're good? Will people pay to see you?
Yeah.
It's so uncertain. Whereas if you get the degree, it's more straightforward. And, you know, that's,
I think it
they
is
just want what's
of course.
Better
and
than what they had.
In our culture, compared to Australia, there's always that hierarchy that if you come from a good school, you get better job opportunities. If you're the cum laude, they will see that in your resume.
Yep.
And, you know, if you were top of the class, everyone would want to employ you. Whereas, I always say this to the people I interview, the things that in our culture, you either have to be a doctor, that's the first thing, a lawyer, an engineer, a nun, or a priest. Because if you're a nun or a priest, that's your gateway to heaven.
And you're your whole family's entire gateway.
Yeah,
Those are the top five professions.
I'm laughing.
And not even a teacher who helps mold your kids, right? It's the doctor, the engineer, the lawyer, the nun, and the priest. Because it gives you a sense of security.
Yeah.
because I remember the time of my lolo and my lola. They were coming out of the war. So everything was invested on their children. Mm-hmm. Para hindi sila mahirapan katulad nung gera. And this is what my parents would, the older people in my family would always say. Your education is the only gift that we can give you that no one can ever take away. That's coming from nanggaling sila sa gera. All their possessions were wiped out. But they had their education. So when they started up, they knew what to do. They found a good job and things like that. And I think that's where our culture is coming from, giving value to things that would give you stability towards your
I hear that. And I appreciate all of that. And this might feel like it's veering away from the conversation about parenting, although I think it is still under the umbrella of it, right? You know, we talk about parenting styles changing over generations, especially when you move to a new country and you're trying to navigate being a Filipino Australian, whatever that means, but also being a parent of Filipino Australians and being a parent that is a Filipino Australian. There's so many complexities here. The parenting styles are changing and as they should, as well as the nuances of and the complexities of, I think, careers and everyday education, right? Like, I hear the security that our parents just want us to be safe, financially secure, and I want that too. But don't get me wrong, I absolutely want that too. But we also live in a time of education inflation, where in the 90s, a high school degree almost guaranteed you a job.
Yes.
Then you had to get a bachelor. And if you got a bachelor, you were guaranteed a job. That's not true anymore. And then you needed a master's, right? And if you got a master's, you were guaranteed a job. That's not true anymore. Even a PhD now doesn't guarantee you anything. So we live in a time where, and that's only in the last 15 to 20 years, that education inflation absolutely skyrocketed, right? It's quite uncontrollable now. This is coming from someone who I will shamelessly say, I got a 32.5 on my, back then it was an ENTA score on my ATAR. Couldn't get into the course that I wanted to, which was just acting in Ballarat.
Not
I needed
just
a 50.
Acting.
Yeah. but it was, I needed a 50. I couldn't get a 50. Well, I didn't get a 50. I could get a 50. I didn't get a 50. And then I took 1 year off and went the year after. Then, you know, jump forward 20 years, I've been the CEO of the youth arts organization. I have 2 degrees now. I have a master's and a bachelor. I, like I said, I consider myself quite successful, but the pressure of schooling, the pressure of getting a good job, whatever that means, it's a really hard conversation. It's quite a pressurized one as well. And I think that's also something that should be unpacked. I'm not sure if this is the episode for it, but that's...
I hear you. So I came to Australia 27 years ago. When I came here, when you look at job openings, if you apply for a job, the minimum requirement was high school, secondary completion. And the next was local experience. And that's what I was telling my son when he was in year 12. So the thing is now, the world is too competitive that they won't even take a look at your resume.
Yeah.
They don't see you have an undergraduate degree.
Yeah.
And I said, and you'd have to come from a reputable school, because that will single you out from the rest. But then I told him, there are two kinds of people in this world, book smart and street smart. You don't have to be book smart, because a lot of the times, book smart, when you go out into the real world, there's no textbook that will teach you how to deal with problem A and problem B. But if you're street smart, you would know straight away, because experience has taught you that, what you've seen through other people. I would rather you be street smart. But having said that, you need to be able to finish uni. You need to be able to come from a school that people will look at in your resume, because that's your doorway. It's not the end all and be all, but that will give you the foot in the door. But what you do when you get in the door is your street smartedness, because unless you're a doctor or a lawyer, there's no textbook that will teach you how to do things the right way. It's just your experience, your empathy, and how you read people. And how do you learn that outside the classroom? Because I wasn't a valedictorian. I wasn't, you know, the straight A student, but I learned a lot when I went out in the real world. And I found out that listening is the most important thing, because that's how you learn. You know how when you say you hit the ground running?
Yeah.
That's so true. And most often in life, you just hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that you will not see if you just constantly wrap yourself around in mm-hmm. a cloud or something.
Mm. So how do we, the conversation has turned into very different, which a lot of our conversations do turn into, right? Mm-hmm. It's very different. It's often not easy, especially when you're an immigrant.
So hard.
It's really hard, mm-hmm. right? And it's confusing. And it's confusing for parents. It's confusing for titas and titos. It's mm-hmm. confusing for young people because we're all just trying to figure it out. What sometimes it feels like on our own, but also together. So what advice do we have for titas and titos who are trying to navigate these conversations, trying to wrap their head around new ways of parenting? I think parenting is a topic today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are some tips and tricks that
I feel have? Like we were talking about this earlier, but I was saying, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, you lead with curiosity, yeah.
Yes.
Right? Like not with judgment. So I feel like there's still a lot of, we were talking about mano earlier, right? Like my kids don't know mano. Gasp.
They
don't
mano make po?
Mano, yeah, right, mano right, po, right, sure. Anything, right? So, but when I think they're raised here. So when we go home to the Philippines, I think there's kind of a lens on my kids to see, you know, do they have our values? You know, they're raised in a very westernized culture. Do they have the Filipino values? And so with my children, I make it a point for them to always, they will always greet. So when we're at a party, they will always say hello to every tita, tito, lolo, lola.
Kiss
you know,
titas.
But no, but that's what I was saying. Yeah. So in the way I'm raising my children, they're never required to give a hug or a kiss or anything. Mm. But so as not to be disrespectful to the titos and titas and lolos and lolas, I will speak to my children. So, hey, this is your tito whatever, tita whatever. Do you want to give a hug or a kiss? Or do you want to just high five? Or do you want to say hi from here? And then gives my children the power then.
Yes.
Because, again, I don't have a village here. I need my children to advocate for themselves here. So I need them to be able to say, I'm not comfortable with that. And if when they're in Australia, they have a voice, but then when we come home to the Philippines, it's like, go make mano, go kiss, go hug.
Yeah.
Because I said so. You're not being consistent. Therefore, their boundaries are not consistent. So wherever we are, it's your body. It's your choice. However, you will always have respect, which means when you come into someone's home, you will always say, hello, thank you for having me. Before you leave, you always make sure you say, goodbye, thank you, I had a really good time.
Mm.
But you don't necessarily have to touch, kiss, hug, great. None of that.
Great.
So you will show respect, but they will also respect you because I think also my generation was like, not just seen, not heard, but you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
So we were talking about this earlier, you know, when it's late at night, you just want to go home and all the titos and titas have been drinking out. It's a hot afternoon. They're all sticky and sweaty and you're like, you're like, you know, yeah, and you're just like, oh, I just want to go home and go to sleep. Yeah. And it's like, oh, there's your tito.
Come.
You're, yeah, yeah.
Bet, give me a kiss.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, and they're sweaty and you're tired and you have to go through all, and they're like 10 tables where they're all playing mahjong.
Yeah.
And you're just like, they just want to go home. So I don't, like, I, yeah, so my children have a voice, it's their body, it's their choice, but always be respectful, always show that.
And I think that's the basic in any culture, respect. Yeah. So, my children are old enough to know how to navigate their way through a Filipino and non-Filipino environment. So growing up, we always said, you can't call the mom of your friend, Julian. You can't call the dad of your friend, John Mark.
Mm.
Why? It's disrespectful. What do we call them? John Mark's dad, Julian's mom. And as I got older, so what do you call them? So my son has a friend who's half Filipino.
Mm.
I call her Tita because she's Filipina. But what do you call everyone else? Well, I called the dad by the first name because he insisted. Because they're at that age. So mm-hmm. This is my oldest. He's 19.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at that age that they can do that. But they know if it's our friend, it's Tita John Mark, it's Tita Julian.
Mm.
And they know that if it's our friends, they have to kiss. Not because we told them, but because they saw that by example. And when they see their Lola, they have to kiss. And when our relatives from the Philippines come over, they say po, opo, and they do bless. Mm. I don't do bless, but my in-laws do bless. So, and then they saw that from a family friend.
Mm.
They all grew up here, but they bless. So they said, what's bless, mom? And then we had to explain. And then they wanted to do it, so they do it.
Yeah. The conversations are really important, right? Can I add something to your example of
yes, peace
and love that you're giving the autonomy to your children on how they want to greet their titas and titos. I want to add to that that the titas and titos that aren't receiving a kiss.
Finger wagging going on.
The titas and titos that aren't receiving a kiss and are maybe getting a wave or a high five, that it's not personal, right? That it's not personal to them. It's not a competition. It's not that. It's just how that child is feeling today and how they're setting up their boundaries in this moment. Maybe next time you might get a kiss. But also, don't expect it. You know?
But I feel like, so my children are naturally affectionate.
Yeah.
Anyway, right? But I also want them to, like, build a relationship with my kid.
Yeah.
It's not something you don't...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Culturally,
you're not entitled to it. I think that's what I'm looking for.
That's the one.
You're not entitled to my child's affection. But you notice that, you know, we're in the Philippines for, like, what, 3 weeks? By the end of, like, the first week, they're hugging willingly and kissing and giving of affection because they feel loved.
Invested.
And they belong there.
Yeah.
And you've made them feel that. You know, as a tito, as my tito and my tita. So my kids kind of, like, they will give lovingly and freely. But I just want my children to know that nobody's ever entitled to your affection.
Yeah.
But growing up, we grew up in the Philippines.
Yes.
But meron kang tito and tita that you just kiss and then you go away. Kasi, ay, uutusan lang ako niyan.
She's gonna ask me to do something.
Pipintasan lang ako niyan.
She's gonna say some nasty about me.
Yeah, so they're the titos and titas. So you veer away from them. And then meron akong tita and tito that would say, oh, what's up? Ano na? Kamusta ka na? May boyfriend ka ba? Yung, who will make conversations with you and actually acknowledge you as an individual. So those are the people that you get to have relationships with. So it's not just because tita ka, tito ka. So it's also building relationships. Like with my children, I also have to make an effort to build a relationship with them. It's not because I'm their mom that they listen to me. They listen to me because I earned it. Because, you know, it was a long process and it's still a process. And there are different stages of parenting as well. Like everyone says, this is, yung nagpapanting ang tenga ko, pushes my buttons when people say, maswerte ka, lalaki lang yung anak mo.
I get that all the time. You're so lucky you've got boys. Because boys, like, boys don't have anything to lose. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, yeah. I get that a lot.
Boys are the worst.
and I would always say, why?
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be more precious with them. You don't have to be more careful with them.
It's your brain imploding. We're like, what is this?
This is the patriarchy.
And this is what I say. Well, I'm teaching them to be accountable for their actions.
Yeah, good.
So it doesn't mean that because they're boys, they're off the hook. Like if he gets someone pregnant, doesn't mean that he's off the hook. I acknowledge that the girl will have to give up 9 months of her life to carry the baby. But when the baby's out, he's also responsible for it. It's like, it's not a gender thing. And that's what I continue to teach my boys. So you parent differently, but you parent. And there's always a bad cop and a good cop. Most of the time I'm the bad one. But I'm the one who says, no, we do this.
Yeah.
But I also say why. And I also say, you have to treat with respect people regardless of their gender. And that this is the funny thing. Because I have two boys. Growing up, I had to be conscious na tuturuan ko sila na what girls can do, they can do. And what boys can do, girls can do. So when they were young, I would always say, what's the difference between a girl and a boy? Yeah, we can be standing up. Girls can't. But that was the only difference. And then when they saw a woman in labor, in SBS there's this show.
I was going to say, where did they see a woman in labor? Side of the road, just on the side of the road there.
Yeah, this SBS show, One Born Every Minute.
Yes, yes.
So they saw a woman in labor. And then when they saw that, they had so much respect for motherhood. And with this, I remember, so did you have to do that, mom? And I said, yeah, worse with your older brother because I had an emergency cesarean. Is my cousin going to do that? And I said, if she decides that she wants to become a mom. And from then on, they had, you know, the respect for mothers when they say they have an ouchie when they were little. We know, mom, this is, the ouchie so small. Yours is bigger in the stomach. So things like that. And those are the things that you just can't get in one conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's continuous.
Yeah. I think one thing I'm taking away from, especially the two of you, I also think of my younger sister who is a mother to two and trying to navigate modern parenting, especially versus culture, is that you're finding a style that works for you. Mm-hmm. You're finding a style that is true to your values mm-hmm. and to who you are as people, as mothers, regardless of culture, regardless of where you are. You're just doing what you feel and believe is right for you and your family, and you're not asking permission. Mm. And I think that's so important. You will have the conversations with your village, or you'll read the books and you'll do all those things, and then you'll make the decisions based on you, but you're not asking permission from your titas and titos or from your parents that, can I parent my child this way? It's, this is how I'm doing it. And I think there's so much power in that. I have the utmost respect for mothers who are doing that.
I appreciate that.
I think there's no right or wrong way. Like when I became a parent, I imbibed everything that I wanted out of my childhood. Like I was telling you earlier, when I was young, I always hoped my parents would read to me during bedtime. I did that. I always hoped that my parents would have listened when I wanted to say something, because through no fault of their own, that's what they knew at that time. But then I realized as I grew older, I had that autonomy to tell my parents what I wanted. But I put that into the relationship early on. So it's a two-way conversation. So there's really no right or wrong way. I think the most important thing is you listen. Not because you don't know any better because you're the mom or your dad. You do, out of experience. But it doesn't mean that what they feel is invalid or less important. It is equally important. So I think there just has to be clear lines of communication. And when you need help, that's when you ask the help of your village. In our family, we try to resolve things on our own within our circle. But then when it gets out of hand, or when we think we need someone else, that's when we ask help from the village. Because the village is important. I always acknowledge that. And the village, especially if you live in Australia, doesn't just mean your relatives. Can be in your
village that
soccer
built.
Mom club.
Yeah.
Your
find your community.
Parent teacher club.
Kapwa.
Yeah.
Kapwa.
Yes. So when you go away from home, you learn that your village extends.
Yeah. Another village. Juliet, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much
and bringing
for having
not only your experience, but your wisdom, your stories. I definitely learned a lot.
Can I do one last call out to the titos and titas? Just as a mom who, I was a young mom, I was completely on my own. And if there are any titos and titas who are listening, who might have, you know, nephews, nieces, who have newborns or who are raising their kids far away from home, if you take away one thing from the podcast, it's tell them that they're doing a good job.
Nice.
If there's one thing you can tell them the next time you see them on Zoom, on Skype, on Viber, on WhatsApp, you know, the next time you catch them holding their newborn or pulling their hair out, be, instead of giving advice, lovingly say, you're doing a good job. Galing mo. I can see you.
That's
kita
good.
Ko yung effort mo. Grabe, ang galing ng effort mo.
Ako. As a certified tita
for
my in-laws. So I've taken care of my nephews and nieces. And so I always say, give them to me. You need a break. Because I didn't have that when my kids were growing up. And I know that they needed that. So give them to me. I love taking care of kids. And I also, this is the first thing I ask as well. Are you allowed? So, can I have lollies? Are you allowed? But of course, I've already asked the parent, but are you allowed? Yeah. I don't think so. Because there are kids who will try and get away. So, it's always respecting the way their rules inside the house when they're with you. I know, especially toddlers will try and get away with as much as they can. But it's respecting the rules of the home. Because they're not your kids. You're just borrowing them. You know, kids are a joy to have.
I don't want them, by the way.
But if they're not yours,
I don't know if you have established
mom, dad. Well, I hope people have enjoyed listening to our random kind of conversations. This was so much fun. Yeah. I think there's obviously a lot to unpack. And as long as everybody understands, I think the younger generation also, as long as you understand, look, your titos and titas, they really do mean well.
Yeah.
They really do. Even if it stings sometimes.
They're always trying.
They just love you. And they, you know, it was a different time.
Yeah.
And as a takeaway from my sister-in-law, her standard answer when somebody says something she doesn't necessarily agree with, okay, but thank you. So maybe let's also lead with love, right? As a younger generation, your tito and tita come in and they're like, you're getting old, you know, your eggs are kind of drying out, when are you going to get married, you know, whatever. You're just like, okay, but thank you. And know that they're coming from a place of love. And titos and titas, we love you. Mm-hmm. We know you want us to be blessed, but you're also not the ones paying for the food bills and the school bills and the shoe bills. And bills can't pay my bills. So
thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Julia.
Thank you for having me. It's
been... Kailan ka magkakababae? Ikaw magbabayad. When people ask me that, I used to get, uy, buntis ka ba? I used to get offended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's a compliment at my age.
I had an aunt who said, oh, you're so big, are you pregnant? And I said, no, I'm actually just fat. And she kind of didn't know what to do with it.
Of course she doesn't know what to do with it.
So I'm like, ah, no, I'm just fat.
I would say, when are you due? Oh, 15 years ago. So you find a humorous way of...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that's it. Maraming salamat, Julian. And
maraming salamat din.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, if you found this conversation enlightening in any way, please share it with others. If you found it relatable or helpful, please listen to the other episodes as well. And find
Create
us
the playlist. Because the Titas and Titos episodes are a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like and subscribe and share.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment. Sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.